If you've lived in Chicago long enough and you've been a Hawks fan long enough, you probably have met JR. You probably have met Jeremy Roenick, because there's not a spot in town he didn't miss. You've been everywhere at least once, but there are so many opportunities for you to re-meet him or meet him for the first time and get his brand new book, Jeremy Roenick, written with Kevin Allen, My Life, No Filters, Shoot First, Pass Later. Man, I love that title. Well, it's perfect.
It kind of is the way I live my life, right? Speak from the mouth before I think, and you know, kind of get that little, you know, the hockey aspect in there. But yeah, it's been great, and of course, I'm going to come back to Chicago. Be the first.
This is your town.
It is, and you know, you talk about being able to meet me and see me. Well, you know, I love being out in public, and I love meeting people. And there's no question that that I venture to a lot of different spots in the city and make sure that. That I meet as many people as I can, because this city has been really, really good to me.
46 now? 45?
I'll be 46 next month. Yep.
And just like Ali, still pretty.
Oh, shoot.
Right? You got that going on?
I should come back more often. I'll take that charity.
No, but honestly, here's the thing. How many guys play as long as you did, as hard as you did, and aren't a little messed up from it?
Not many, yeah. To tell you the truth. Actually, somebody asked me about 4 or 5 months ago, who has played the game the way you've played Big hitter.
Yeah.
Could make great passes, great plays.
Stuck in the corners.
Yeah, stuck in the corners. Wasn't afraid to go in first. Scored big goals. Scored a lot of goals. Fought, you know, numerous times.
When you needed to and sometimes when you didn't.
You know, I forgot about how many fights I had. I was watching YouTube the other day. I must have counted 30, 35, or 40. I was like, geez, some of these I don't even remember. I must have got hit harder than I thought. But, you know, I'm very fortunate to have been blessed with a very durable body, and I still work out very, every day. So I take care of myself.
And doing a great job on NBC as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's a good venue for me. They say if you have a big mouth and opinion, either radio or television is the place to be. And I just landed on NBC. I was been very fortunate.
The book is going to, JR is going to sign it at the Union League Club later this morning at 11:30. Tonight at Barnes & Noble out at Orland Park. That's your Barnes & Noble.
Down the
street from your mom.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
And then tomorrow, numerous locations as well. We put these all up on social. I mean, I could go through the whole list, but people are going to lose
their minds. We'll get on your Facebook and Twitter, at Cochran Show.
Yeah, so we'll link to the list of all the appearances. In the book, you don't pull any punches. You tell the story of your life, the good times and the bad. Fortunately, they're mostly good times.
Yeah, the first book was enlaced with F-bombs. So, you know, it was a locker room book.
Telling
a lot of stories of what it was like in my turbulent, rocky road through the NHL. But then this one is a little bit different. Still, some of the stories that hit the cutting room floor off the first book.
Yeah.
A lot of my opinions about today's game and today's players, underrated, overrated, guys that don't get enough credit for the way they play, my relationship with Gretzky, with Bettman. I talk about being a dad as a professional athlete, because that was really hard.
Sure.
Being a husband. You know, I got into a lot of trouble playing, you know, and it's amazing that I've withstood it for 24 years.
Well, how much of that was booze part of the problem? Because it colors everybody's view in the world.
Without question. I definitely never really turned away too many beverages when you're out with the boys.
Well, that's the thing. It's part of the culture in the game.
It is, yeah. It's, you know, it's a nice social thing. And plus, I'm always out entertaining. I mean, everybody's looking for an entertainment. I always feel like I am the center of attention. I have to be the one to entertain. I have to be the one that sets things up. I have to make sure everybody has fun.
Life of the party.
Yeah, that's how I live my life, and I enjoy making people happy. I enjoy doing things that that put smiles on people's faces. And you know, you do that, you have a little beverage or a little adult cocktail, and it's all.
But how
good.
Do you know when you're in trouble?
I know I'm in trouble when I'm getting pulled from my wife or from my buddies, and you know it's time to go. I know my limits, I know my edges, and you know I do things that are crazy. You know, at 6 o'clock in the morning when I haven't been, under the influence.
Speaking of doing things that are crazy,
yeah.
A little video popped up a week or so ago.
Yeah,
you know, I spend most of my time on the golf course when the weather's good, but I rarely wrestle a gator.
Well, you know, that's why I do it, because I know some people like you won't. So, you know, and it's the shock effect.
Was that? Florida?
It was down in Bay Hill in Florida, and I think the best thing about the whole thing, is I was going at the alligator, I was hoping and praying that it would do its natural instinct and just run away into the water. If it did turn around and come back at me,
it's a different video.
Then I would have had to change my whole plan like on the fly,
uh-huh.
Which I didn't have a plan, by the way. But the greatest, the best part of the whole thing was after the round.
Yeah.
After the round, we're in the locker room, and Arnold Palmer comes in and goes, "Hey, hockey boy, we quit antagonizing my alligators. They're scared to death out there. You know, they're scared to death out there."
Mr. Palmer doesn't miss much, does he?
No, he was fantastic. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Mr. Palmer. He's like, "It's okay, kid. Just leave my alligators alone. They can't handle you, hockey guy. Your hockey boys."
If you've not seen this, if you Google Jeremy Roenick alligator, you will see it. And this gator, and I know you've done this because you talk about it in the book. You've done it with rattlesnakes?
Yeah, I pick up rattlesnakes. I actually brought a rattlesnake from the golf course into my house.
I bet your wife loved it.
She was making the bed, and I came up right behind her, and I had it in my hand, and she didn't see it, but she heard the rattle. And she turned around, and she literally, if you could see a human being climb the wall and cling to the ceiling by her nails.
Sure.
With a blood-curling screech, that was her. And
she's one of the sweetest people.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's the rock.
But the only, I'm not kidding when I tell you this. I knew Steve Irwin a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The crocodile.
Yeah.
He's the only other person I've seen do it. And by the way, he was a professional.
You know who loves to do it, too, is Gary McCord. Gary McCord
McCord's nuts. You and McCord both have problems. Yeah, there's no question.
Yeah, he doesn't like his adult beverages either.
No. All right, so let's back this up a little bit. Let's it may be in reverse order.
Okay.
Let's talk about this edition of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
You love this team. How could you not? Three cups in very short order here.
Yep.
We're the flagship. What is the best part of this team, and what do you think they need to do better?
The best part of this team is being able to have that consistency, and I think the consistency starts with their coach and their GM. I think Stan Bowman's done a great job at retooling and repiecing when they had to make changes through the salary cap issues. It's not easy not only to get the right players to fit in, but then have the coaching staff be able to put the right pieces together, and that's what Joel has been able to do. The fact that they've been able to keep their core together, keeping Jonathan Toews, King,
sure,
Keith, Seabrook, Hossa,
right,
that's been really, really key.
But what do they need to do better?
Well, I think right
now, to take that run at a fourth.
I think right now they have to get their consistency has to be obviously a lot better. I think the lines get jumbled up so much, when things aren't going well, with the exception now of Panarin, Kane, and Anisimov. But, you have to have that model of consistency. And the Hawks have played so much hockey in the last 4 or 5 years, it's really easy to go through the year and have down times, not be motivated.
Sure.
You know, have to get yourself up. You're tired. I think it's tough to keep that consistency. For me, it's keeping a consistency of having that high offense. That's how they've won hockey.
It can't all be on one line.
Can't be on all one line. They have to be putting pucks in that, a little bit more. Guys like Shaw have to put it in a little more. It's nice to see Bickle back up from the minors, but he still has to earn his spot. He has to put the puck in that.
Yeah, you gotta let it go.
You gotta score more goals. And in this day and age, the consistency is what's going to be key.
You played with some great guys, and you were usually the star of the team, but you didn't play with a team with this kind of depth.
No.
Is this a situation where guys maybe don't shoot as much because there are too many options? I see them sometime on the power play, and
so
I go,
unselfish.
One less pass, man.
They're so unselfish. They really are. I mean, if you've been in the locker room and met a bunch of the guys,
sure,
which you have, they're such good guys, and they care about each other in that locker room. There's not a selfish – I don't think there's a selfish bone in that.
But here's
body.
The thing. You look at – Allen Iverson was a gunner in the NBA. And your book is called Shoot First Pass.
Just ask him who the best player was.
Yeah, he'll tell you.
He'll tell you.
Shoot first, pass later, which for people that don't know hockey may think you were a gunner on the ice.
Yeah.
But the shots you took were smart shots. The difference was you were aggressive and you looked for lanes as opposed to backing off and waiting for somebody else. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it comes with the fear of feeling pain. I loved feeling pain. When I felt pain, I knew I was in the game. I knew I was going to be.
Kind of needed that?
I needed it. It built my adrenaline.
Sure.
I felt better. When I started feeling pain. If I got cut early in the game, I was scoring a goal or getting 3 or 4 points for sure.
Or that first really good check, then you know you're playing?
I'm getting in it because my adrenaline flow really gets amped. I get in the game, I get more attentive, I get angrier. So somebody else is going to feel pain. So that was my boiling point.
This is why you're not on the PTA.
There's a lot more reasons why I'm not in the PTA. But
now, you mentioned Hossa. You played against Hossa.
Uh-huh. He's one of my favorite players in the league.
What was he like to play against?
He is – he never – I don't think Hossa really got enough credit for as good of a hockey player he was.
I don't think he ever has.
What, no, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Maybe because of the people that he played against. But the model of consistency that he's been able to play at, his body strength and hand strength with the puck and his ability to stick handle the puck, maybe in a phone booth with guys all over him,
sure,
is unbelievable. But when you see, like, if you see the little things that he does, the way that he buries his head and back checks when he doesn't have the puck,
sure,
when he sacrifices his body, he does every little thing that a second tier superstar doesn't do.
Right.
And I've always loved his talent. I've loved his grit. I've loved his love of the game. And I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Plays both sides of the ice.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and he does things away from the puck that I used to see you do that a lot of guys shy away from.
You know, he does things, and this is what's really important. He does things that you can teach.
Right.
Right? But some people just don't have the gusto to do because they're
losing. Well, I'll give you an example. Alex Ovechkin. Ovechkin's Allen Iverson on skates. Ovechkin will play a little defense.
He's getting better.
And he'll play defense when he needs to.
He's getting better.
But one of the reasons Washington has never gotten over the hump because he hasn't led that effort, and Hossa was never afraid of it, neither were you.
You know, it's funny because, you know, 2 years ago, we were all over Alex Ovechkin. Me, Mike, Jonesy, you know, all over him. He was minus 34 with over 50 goals. I mean, that's unheard of.
Right.
Last year, he was plus 14. With 50 goals.
Right.
So he made that change. Again, he's on that pace again this year in terms of his plus minus, not scoring as many goals, but being better defensively. His team's one of the best in the East, one of the best in the league right now. So it shows if you play the game the right way and do the right things, you bring a lot of people with you.
Do you think he starts to realize, because he's getting older, that the opportunities are getting, you know, thinner and maybe
pressure.
Yeah, so he's got to work harder to make sure he gets a cup.
He's even told me. He says, listen, I can score. I don't care if I score another goal. You know, my legacy,
he wants a cup.
It's what's going to define him.
There's a unique thing that goes on. Well, there's a lot of unique things that go on to make hockey great. But one of the things with his salary cap that we talked about, which is tough, is you win a Stanley Cup, as the Hawks have done these three times in the last 6 years. That handshake line is so important, and that celebration afterwards is so important, because literally that night when those guys go home, that team may never be together, and that organization may never be together as one again.
I've never seen it. I've never seen it be the same, ever.
And there's no other sport that's like that.
I've never seen the same team come back twice. It's always a new face, or there's always a face.
Point being, you better appreciate the moment, right?
No question. And the camaraderie is awesome in the locker room with NHL guys. They love being with each other. They respect each other. Sometimes almost to a fault, where we saw a couple weeks ago where Evgeny Malkin came out and said that we were mad at each other, we're yelling at each other, we're not happy with each other, and everybody's like, you know, God forbid. You know?
Yeah, don't turn into junior high here.
God forbid, you know, God forbid you have an argument or you yell at your family member or your teammate. You know?
Right.
Oh, I don't like you anymore, or you don't like me anymore.
Yeah, stop
it
already.
No, come on, thick skin, families fight. Families disagree. You know, families. Then he came out and played the best hockey that he ever played.
I want to get Andre and Kevin in here, but you mentioned Coach Q, and you talk a lot about Mike Keenan in the book. Mm-hmm. And I know Keenan was, you know, a big part of the NHL, not just a big part of your life. The difference to me between Keenan and Q was that Keenan was tough, brilliant hockey guy, but Q found a way to get the best out of every player. Did you have to have a special understanding of Keenan to play for Keenan?
You had to have really thick skin to play with Keenan. Because Keenan believed he didn't want anybody to be comfortable in the locker room. He wanted guys to be on edge every day, uncomfortable, you know, kind of like caged lions that haven't been fed in like 2 weeks, right? He just wanted
to needle you, egg you on.
Just have you edgy, so when you got up on the ice, you were just angry. We had team fights on practice twice a week, you know, with Keenan. And he liked that. He believed that negative energy was better than no energy at all. That was his mentality. And he was always in your face. If you weren't working it, you're in trouble. But guys understood that. Some guys didn't like it.
Would he have won more if he had Q's sensibilities to be tough but to be fair and to get the best out of every guy?
Absolutely. You know, he won one cup. I think he would have won maybe three or four if he had Coach Q's mentality. He's, you know... Joel's one of the best coaches ever to be in the National
League. No doubt.
I mean, not only just his record, but if you watch him, behind the bench, he's full of such passion. He wears his passion on his sleeve. You can see when he's mad. You can see when he's happy. He's a real personable guy, and he's a brilliant hockey mind. You know, I was with I had Patrick Kane on my podcast, which just started yesterday. Just started my new podcast.
Where did we find that?
It's on the podcast app, and it's.
Did we take it through your website?
No, just go to Ronick. Go onto the podcast on the iTunes and download Ronick Life Podcast with JR and Jaffe. Ronick Life Podcast with JR and Jaffe. Actually, we're top 10 downloads. On our first day, so it was pretty good.
Still pretty.
You know, it gives me a chance to say what I want to say the way I want to say
exactly.
it. Sometimes I can't do that on NBC.
But, right.
Patrick Kane said something that I thought was pretty interesting. I've never heard a player describe his coach the way Patrick did yesterday. And he said, you know, Joel is awesome. He's a man's man. Now, when you say he's a man's man, what does that mean? He's like, he's honest with you, and he'll tell you what he feels. He's not going to pull any punches. He's going to kick you in the ass when you're bad, and he's going to pat you on the back when you're good.
And you know he loves you, even when he's kicking you in the ass, and you know he wants the best for you, and maybe that's why he's kicking you in the ass.
That's exactly right. And I thought that was a pretty
insightful.
It's a great compliment. Yeah, no question. It's a great compliment from a great player and a great coach.
Andrea, stop staring at JR.
Hey, you know what? I meant it before. Your wife is such a sweetheart. We've known her for years. You got to be so proud of your family. But you touched on briefly before, JR, when you said, you know, it's difficult. You're away a long time. Hockey's a long season.
Yeah.
But you got a great support staff. Your kids are grown now, but you got to be so proud of them.
Yeah, no question. And it's funny. You know, I always thought that I was going to have a kid that was going to be like me. I just didn't expect it to be my daughter. You know, she's she turned 18. She moved out of the house. She moved in with a boyfriend. She went on life by herself, and you know, she's had her own job, her own business since, and living by herself, and kind of has her. She's the strongest physical woman I've ever seen, and the strongest mental woman I've ever seen. So she's got both of my wife's traits. But we're always, you know, always battling because I'm gone on the road, and who's going to have that discipline? My son is truly one of the greatest. And I'm not saying this because he's my son. One of the true greatest kids that I've been, and loving and complimentary.
Big heart.
He's affectionate. He still likes to kiss his dad goodnight. You know,
how great is that?
He's the
best.
He's the type of kid, if when you meet him, he'll look at you in the eye, he'll give you a firm handshake, he'll talk to you, he'll ask you questions, he'll hold a full conversation. Then when you leave 5 minutes later, you get a text and he'll say, it was great to meet you, can't wait to see you again.
Yeah.
And that comes from my wife, you know, because, you know, he sees my personality, and I'm always affectionate and gracious to people. And love meeting people, and he's got that from me. So, but it's my wife that puts that instinct in him. So I'm really
fortunate. You guys did a pretty good job.
Yeah, especially when you're on the road and you know you get to live a professional athlete's life. My kids hear a lot of rumors and they see a lot of things, and you know it's they have thick skin, and the one constant is that they love, you know, they love their dad, and their dad loves them.
Kev, question for Jer.
Real quick, other than wrestling Gators, how's the golf game?
You know what? It's pretty good. I lost 40 pounds from April until July. And as soon as I lost all that weight, I lost my golf swing because I started pulling everything to the left.
Yeah, because your plane's different.
Everything started swinging. Instead of trying to swing around my gut, I was swinging right through it, and everything was going left. So I lost my golf game for a little bit, but didn't do very well in Tahoe. I finished 14th this year, but just got back from the Lexus Championship in Pebble Beach.
It's a great tournament.
Yeah, last week. Shot 75 at Spyglass, shot 73 at Spanish, and Pebble got me again. We were second going into the last day, and I shot 78 at Pebble. It's just one of the.
What's the index right now?
I'm a 1.1. Yeah. So. It's pretty good. Have a big tournament down in Orlando, the Diamond Creek Resorts Celebrity Classic. It's going to be on Golf Channel on the 14th through 16th.
Living in Arizona doesn't hurt the golf game too much.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's great to see you, and I couldn't be more happy for you.
Thank you.
You got a beautiful family, and this new book, I hope everybody gets it. It's JR. It's Jeremy Ronick, Shoot First, Pass Later. Again, he's signing it everywhere, including tonight at the Barnes & Noble out in Orland Park, on Michigan Avenue tomorrow, outside the United Center this week, at Barbara's, at Willis Tower, at the Bookstall in Winnetka, and at Von Maur out in Yorktown, all between now and Saturday.
Last year in Orland Park, we were supposed to be there from 6 to 9. I think we stayed there from 6 to almost 1 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, you got a lot.
He's not leaving until everybody's happy.
And
JR will follow you home and teach your kid a slap shot.
Let's just hope. I hope it's not 1 in the morning, but you never know what happens in Chicago. That's for sure.
Well, God bless you, man. Nice to see you.
Thank you, guys.
Healthy.
I appreciate the time.
Jeremy Ronick, Shoot First, Pass Later. News next.